Songs for Sale. Yes, Songs for Sale. The big chance for unknown songwriters to have their tunes played by Ray Block and his orchestra. Sung by Rosette Shaw and Richard Hayes. Picked for publication by a panel of Tin Pan Alley experts. And presented to you by the star of our show, Jan Murray.
Thank you. Thank you so very much. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And welcome to Songs for Sale.
What was that?
What happened here? Say, listen, I'd like to let you in on something. You know, I've been on this show a year now, and I feel you're all my friends, and I try never to keep any secrets from you. You know that. I've told you all the good things that happened to me, all the bad things. I confide in you. You know, I feel like we're one happy family. Well, anyway, last night I had my first big argument with my wife. You know, honestly, and I'm going to tell you about no secrets. I had an argument, I'm going to tell you. You know what kills me? She's always running to beauty parlors. That's what really burns me. Isn't it silly? She's going to one place now that promises her that after 10 treatments, she's going to look like Betty Grable. You know something? Maybe they're right. So far, she's only taken 5 treatments. Already, she looks like Harry James. Maybe she's a good beauty. I swear, that's the only argument I've ever had with my wife. We had a fight last night. We always fight about cold creams, chin straps, eyebrow pencils, hair nets. She absolutely refuses to let me use them. But I'm happy anyway, because this week there's another big story about Songs for Sale and me in Television Screen Magazine. And I just read it today, and it's a wonderful story. It's on the newsstands in case you'd like to read it. And I want to thank TV Screen very, very much. But now let's meet the three people who judge the new tunes you'll hear tonight and who will select the one song they think is most likely to become a hit. First, the arranger and director of popular records for Columbia Recording Company, one of their most famous conductors, Mitch Miller.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, Mitchell. How you feeling tonight, all right?
Good, good.
You look great. Next, the young man who's probably the most popular Latin American singing star in the entire world, Miguelito Valdez. Miguelito. Senor. Welcome. And third, a young lady who's one of Broadway's brightest musical comedy attractions. She has starred in such hits as Miss Liberty, and Bless You All, and recently has been thrilling the people all over America in our smartest nightclub, Miss Mary McCarty. Oh, just a talented girl. Hiya, Mary.
Hello, Jack.
So thrilled to have you on our show. Really, we are.
Thank you.
Remember, panel, judge these songs carefully because the winning song you choose tonight will receive $200 in cash and will be published by a famous New York publishing firm. So if you have your scorecards handy, we'll meet our first new songwriter. And Hal Sims, who will it be, please?
Jan, I'd like to have you meet Miss Ellen Huntley.
Hello, hello. Welcome.
Right.
Welcome to our show, Mrs. Huntley. How do you feel? You all right?
Oh, I'm so excited, Mr. Murray. I just can't believe I'm here.
No kidding.
I wish somebody would pinch me.
Please, no pinching or biting. Those are the rules on the show. But if your song loses, you could punch Mitch Miller 3 times, you know? Why do you want to be pinched, Mrs. Huntley?
Well, I just want to make sure I'm not dreaming. You know, you won't believe this.
Speak right into the microphone, dear. Yes.
You won't believe this, but this is really the first lucky thing that has ever happened to me.
Honestly?
Honestly.
You mean you never won a skate key in a box of Cracker Jacks or anything like that? No? Weren't you ever even queen for a day?
I was never even a queen for a minute.
No,
I'm just not lucky, I guess.
Well, I don't know. I think it's a state of mind, good luck and bad luck. Honestly, it is. You know, a fella just approached me before the show. I haven't seen this guy in about 10 years. He had the longest face you've ever seen in your life. I said, what's the matter? He says, well, if I've been running into tough luck. He says, last week my uncle died and he left me $5,000. I said, gee, that's terrible. He says, 2 weeks ago my grandfather died, left me $10,000. I said, gee, that's awful. He says, this week is the worst luck of all. I said, what happened? He says, nobody died. See, it's just a state of mind, Mrs. Huntley. That's all. Now, look at you. You're certainly a lovely-looking lady. You're healthy-looking. You look happy. You have a big smile. What makes you think you're under such an unlucky star?
I don't know. It just seems that everything happens to me.
Well, give us a for instance. Let's hear something.
Well, let's say recently I went away for a weekend. Wanted to go away for a weekend, let's say. And I went down to catch my train. And as I was getting up on the train, the conductor let down the steps for me.
Yeah.
He let them down right on my head.
Well, that was a tough break. I'll buy that.
That wasn't all.
That wasn't all? All right, what happened?
Well, after that happened, naturally, I gave up the idea of a weekend. I went back to my office. And I was just walking into the office, and I noticed a couple of boys just walking out carrying a couple of suitcases. And they said, hello. Well, I said, hello.
Nice.
When I walked into the office, I discovered I had just been robbed of $500.
And you had just said hello to these boys? That was a fine how do you do. But, well, it's certainly unfortunate, I'll tell you that. But let me tell you what happened to a friend of mine.
Well, just maybe a minute, that wasn't all.
Oh, some more? All right, we'll listen.
When I went home to my hotel where I live,
yeah,
I was so nervous I had to go back to, just went to bed. I just couldn't take it, so I lied down. And it was dark, and I was just dozing off. All of a sudden, a drunken man walks into my room to start kissing me. He thought it was his own room and that I was his wife.
That's... Oh, no, you're kidding at this. Really?
Oh, no, he said. Oh, yes.
Wonderful.
Well, I even had to get the house detective to have him thrown out.
You got the house detective to throw him out? Now, you see, you're not as unlucky as you think you are, Mrs.
Why?
Huntley. Well, because now you got your first good break right then and there. You're lucky this thing didn't happen in a hotel in Texas.
What do you mean?
Yeah, because Texas has no house detectives. That's the truth. I was there. In all the hotel rooms, they have a sign that says, remember, the eyes of Texas are upon you. Well, you see, it was very fortunate that there was a house detective and you could throw this drunken man out. But you certainly had a lot of trouble. But I want to tell you a thing that happened with a friend of mine.
Yeah, that isn't all
yet. Oh, yeah, isn't it? You mean something else happened on this trip?
You don't know half of it. Anyhow.
It better be half of it. The hour is almost up. You know?
And the detective threw this man out.
Well, let me hear this. Yes, the detective threw the man out.
The house detective threw this man out.
Yeah.
I finally went to bed.
Yeah.
See? But it just happens that my room is located right next door to the incinerator. The next thing I knew, a woman opens my door by mistake and dumps in a big bag of garbage.
I give up. You convinced me, honey. You convinced me. I'm convinced.
I was telling you that. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Now, what were you going to tell me about your friend?
You mean Lucky Moe? Compared to you, this boy has four-leaf clovers hanging out of each ear. Well, let's hope. Forget my friend. I had a little thing about him, but he's a lucky boy. But let us hope that after the panel, here's your song tonight, your luck will change and it'll all be good from now on. I sincerely hope so. And you certainly have a splendid sense of humor. I could tell by the way you told us these little stories. What's the name of your song, Mrs. Huntley?
Well, I wrote it really out of my experience in business. And Mr. Sol Friedman wrote the music for me. It's called White Collar Girl.
White Collar Girl? Written by you and Mr. Sol Friedman?
Well,
all right, Mrs. Huntley, here's your song. Rosette Shaw is going to sing it for you. Ray Block's orchestra is going to play it. It was a delight meeting you, and a best
Thank
of
you
luck.
So much.
All
right.
I'm a white collar girl with a college degree, but to collar a man, that's a tough one for me. I don't have no measles, I'm quite normal, you see. If nothing can change it, this is my PhD. I'm a white collar girl with a bachelor's degree, but I'm still looking round where that bachelor can be. I'm Phi Beta Mu, I'm an Epsilon Pi. How smart can you be if you can't get a guy? I've studied the classics, all the theories, and then with so much education, I'd scare the apes out of men. A diploma, they say, can be helpful in life, but there's no guarantee it will make you a wife. A white-collar girl who has mastered in art and longing for someone who can master her heart. Thank you. can be helpful in life, but there's no guarantee it will make you a wife. A white-collar girl who has mastered in art and is longing for someone who can master her heart.
Okay, panel, you've just heard our first new song, White-Collar Girl, by Ellen Huntley. Mrs. Ellen Huntley, that is. And may we have your opinion on it first, Mitch Miller?
Well, Jan, the tune, it's bouncy enough, but it's more or less just a vehicle for the lyrics, which are really very well constructed. But at the same time, it's, they're very specialized lyrics for a specialized audience. I have in mind a college musical or, well, that's about all. College musical, you know, mention of sororities, the classics, and I think with that sort of an audience, you set up a means of communication. You could have a lot of fun with the song, but I don't know what else you could do with it.
Thank you. Mitch, Mary McCarty, how'd you feel about it?
I respect his ideas very much. I disagree just a little bit in the fact that I believe the white collar applies to certainly a lot more people than just people in college. And I think that it has a wonderful beat, and it has very clever lyrics. And I found that in doing numbers on this type, that audiences, no matter whether they're college types or whether they're white-collar people or whatever you want to say, they enjoy it. I think it's a very cheerful song, and I think that we need such songs today.
Thank you, Mary. Thank you for your thought. Miguelito Valdez, how did you feel about the song, sir?
Well, I believe that the song is beautiful for two reasons. I can use this song myself with my band.
Gee, I wish you would, Miguelito. Gosh almighty,
John Murray.
You love this song.
Listen, Mr. John Murray, I tell
what?
You.
What did you do? Were you calling me?
John Murray.
John Murray.
Is that your name?
No, Jan Murray.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Now, what were you saying, Miguelotis Valdez?
Listen, Mr. John Murray.
John Murray.
I like this song for two reasons, as I said before.
Enough, I change my name. Don't you change it.
Two reasons. I believe that the lyrics are very clever and the melody is beautiful. I even can use it as a novelty for my own band. Novelty and rumba.
See, that would
tempo
be wonderful, Miguelito.
That would be a terrific hit.
Oh, gosh, so we'd be thrilled to death. I know Mrs. Huntley is. Look how excited she is. We'll give you the entire, we'll give you the arrangement and everything. Thank you, all of you. Mitch Miller, do you have a special guest up your sleeve tonight?
Well, Jan, we have an old favorite here. You know, there's a little fellow who makes some of the biggest records Columbia turns out. And he's regarded as one of the outstanding jazz pianists in the country today. My friend, little Joey Bushkin.
Joey Bushkin! The greatest. There's the boss. Joey, what are you going to break the joint up with tonight?
Well, I'm going to play something we usually play over at the Embers, where I'm appearing, naturally. I got to get the slugging or the boss won't feed me anymore. And
you look like
Big
you
Mitch
been
Miller,
been
I'd like
lately,
to.
I got news. Uh-huh. You're thinner than I am, Joey.
Well, it's very clever. Yeah, I can't hear you. The acoustics aren't very good on this side of the piano.
No, I'll tell jokes you could hear so you could add
wow. I'll fill in for
play
it.
Play it.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you. I'm gonna write words oh so sweet, they're gonna knock me off my feet. A lot of kisses at the bottom. Oh, I'll be glad I got them. I'm gonna smile and say, I hope you're feeling better. Baby, and close with love the way I used to do. I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you, sweet little you, and make believe it came from you.
Thank you. about Joey Pushkin? He's great, isn't he? True genius
on the keyboard. Oh, he's great.
And now, Hal Simms, who's our next new songwriter, please?
Jan from Manila in the Philippines by way of Sea Cliff, Long Island. Here is Mr. Jose de Angria.
Oh, hi. How are you, sir?
Forgive me if I get a little corny. I want to say hello, Joe. What do you know? Do your friends call you Joe or Jose?
It doesn't make a difference, Jose or Joe.
Well, it makes a lot of difference. How would it be, Jose? Hello, Jose. What do you know, Jose? You know.
Can I call you Jose? May I call you Jose?
Sure, certainly. I
hope you don't mind me saying so, but I love Spanish names. They're so euphonious. I went with a girl once. Her name was Carmelita. Isn't that a beautiful name? Carmelita Antipasto. Beautiful. Beautiful. Really, Jose, honestly. Her mother was Spanish and her father was an anchovy. You don't believe me, you're staring at me. Well, what time does the enchiladas go up, boy? He's a pleasant young man. How old a fella are you, Jose?
26.
26, geez. How long have you been in this country?
Oh, since 1947. I came here as a student, and for the past year I've been working with the United Nations.
You're working at the UN? Oh, wonderful.
Hey, that should be a great job for a 26-year-old youngster. No kidding. Nice-looking fella, too. I mean, I understand they have all these hundreds and hundreds of beautiful girls from every nation in the world working at the UN. Gee, how can you concentrate on your work in a place like that?
Okay.
And all those beautiful girls, that's all you have to say, Make it sound like you're working in a candy store, you know. After the first day, you get used to the stuff. But all that first day, Carmelita Antipasto. Tell me, no, seriously, how can you ignore all those beautiful girls working there?
I don't ignore them, Jan. I date them all the time.
Well, good, good. Well, I'm glad to hear. What kind of girls do you go with?
Nice girls.
I'm sure. You don't understand. I mean, they come... The girls there from all over the world. I'm trying to find out which are your favorites. English girls, Spanish girls, American girls, you know.
Well, I like all girls. But,
well, you're overactive. Little good neighbor what you are. Huh?
But for a luncheon date, I like to take English girls out. They're good company.
Yeah.
They're good conversationalists.
Yeah.
And besides, they don't eat very much.
You're right. Wonderful. You're right, Jose. You'll never go broke. You'll never go broke on tea and crumpets. I'll tell you that right now. How about dinner?
Well, for dinner, you see, I like Spanish food, French food, Chinese food, American food. So whenever I meet a girl who likes to cook and invites me over to her house, that's where I go for dinner.
What a busy season this kid had. And we thought Marshall had a plan.
Well, I admire you. I really do. It's good thinking. Tell us how you got interested in music.
Oh, I learned to appreciate music at home, and about less than 2 years ago.
Just said it's the most.
I took up popular songwriting and wrote songs one after another as inspirations came along.
As you got inspired, you wrote the songs. I said, what song did you bring with you this evening, Jose?
I brought a ballad called You Fool.
Oh, I thought you were talking to me for a minute. So many people say to me, you fool, you know. Is that the name of the song, You Fool?
That's right.
All right, Jose. Now, here's your song. Ray Block's orchestra is going to play it for you. Richard Hayes is going to sing it. I wish you luck with the UN in your private life. In fact, all the time. All the best to you.
Did you fall in love? Why did you let yourself be caught off guard and carried away? You played as you would a game. One you could take or not until the time to call it a day.
But then the tide turned and left you with no will at all to insist that this thing could never affect you. Now it's too late to resist, you fool. Now you've been left alone. Now it's your turn to speak of love till end of time. Another foolish thing, you.
Okay, panel, we've just heard our second new song called You Fool by Jose de Ungria. Now, may we have your opinion of it first, Mitch Miller?
Well, Jen, first, the melody is a very good Tarchi melody. I must say that. The lyrics is sort of one sentiment that is hard to tell in the third person, you know, especially in a ballad. I mean, he's either quietly bawling a girl or his girl out and sort of giving advice for future behavior. And if it's about himself, meaning the singer, we would never know about it unless it were a production number. You know, if he was sort of looking in the mirror, you know, they'd have a mirror and he's getting dressed, or a picture of his girl on the table. And then it would make some sense. But as it is now, it's hard to know what the lyrics actually mean, whether he's talking to himself, to a girl, or giving advice to someone. But the melody is very good melody. I like
right.
it.
Right. Think we should try to help Jose out on the lyrics.
Yes.
Then, huh? Okay.
And, clear it up and make it
right,
more...
That's right. Well, it's very important who you call a fool, I'll tell you that. I'll tell you that. Mary McCarty,
well,
how'd you
Jan,
feel about
it? Sounds to me like Jose found some girls who fixed some very good dinners for him, evidently. Because his lyrics to me sound very simple and very sincere, and he's chosen a title that has been a very favorite one in musical ballads today, like Fools Rush In and I'm a Fool to Love You and such songs like that. I think the melody is just wonderful. I did get a little confused with the, just a little bit with the lyrics, but I think that it's such a wonderful, simple sentiment, and that seems to be the key to ballads today, that I think it's a fine ballad, and that just with a little revision on his lyric, it should be a very good one for him.
Well, good. Look, if we all get around to feeling that's such a good song, maybe we'll get somebody to sit in with Jose and really straighten the lyric out, because we don't want to see a great song go by the wayside. Miguelito Valdez, how did you feel about it?
Well, certainly I agree with my both partner here on this table. I agree with them 100%. John Murray, I believe. No, I really believe that the melody.
Why don't you just make it simple, Miguelito? Don't call me sir for the rest of the night.
All right, sir.
That's the cutest guy alive.
Listen, sir. I believe that the melody is a gorgeous melody, beautiful melody. But I'm a little confused myself with the
about
lyric.
About the lyric. Well, I guess everybody agrees. I guess everybody agrees.
Especially for a fellow like me that been in this country for 10 years. I'm learning a little English, like you say, Jamurai and all those
You've
things.
You've been here only 10 years. It's amazing. You talk so what?
Well, thank you very, very much.
Miguelito, you're wonderful. This is an old partner of mine. We worked at the La Martinique together. Miguelito is one of the dearest friends I have in the entire show business industry. We spent about 6 months.
I remember you make all the money. I did all the work.
You're right. Miguelito, if I'm not mistaken, you made one certain record that sold over 2 million copies. What was it called?
Oh, that's Babalu, I believe.
That's right, son. You know something? I think if we could hear it right now, we'd probably sell a few million more records.
You think so?
Right, let's do it. Ladies and gentlemen, Miguelito Valdez and his classic version of Babalu.
Babalu. Están empezando los velorios, hay que le hacemos a Babalú. Y dame 17 pesos y pa' poner un buen cruz.
dame un cabo de tabaco maliente y un jarrito de aguardiente. Dame un poco de dinero maliente, ay, pa' que no te la doy. Es que yo quiero pedir, ay, que mi negra me quiera, ay, que tenga dinero y que no se muera. Ay, yo le quiero pedir a Paja Palú, ay, una negra bembona, es que no tenga toro negro, ay, pa' que no se muera. Ay, mi papalú, oye, mi papalú, oye, en cuenta cara, chini, ni, 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 ambo, papalú, oye, mamá, es papalú, oye,
papalú,
río, papalú, oye, mamá, es papalú,
oye, mi papalú, oye,
mi papalú, oye, mamá, es papalú,
oye, mi papalú, oye, mamá, es
papalú, oye, mamá, es papalú.
Oh, I got carried away. I'm sorry. Mitch, those are beautiful lyrics. And now we come to the halfway mark in our Songs for Sale program. Hey, don't go away. We'll be back in a moment. But first, here's Hal Sims.
Yes, Jen, we're still to hear from two more unheralded, unknown songwriters before our panel can judge which new tune deserves our $200 cash award and the opportunity to be published by a famous New York publishing firm. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System. And Songs for Sale, carrying on with more new songs, new songwriters, all presided over by the star of our show, Chance Murray.
This is Jan Murray carrying on with Songs for Sale, looking for the new song that's destined for nationwide popularity. What is it? Please. Oh, that Miguelito Valdez is driving the entire show crazy. Please, 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 you know my Spanish blood. Don't worry, if I had blood, it would be Spanish. You know that great Spanish lover, Don Juan? I'm Don Two. Why, as good as Don Juan? Oh, well, on with the show. Hal Sims, who's our next new songwriter, please?
Jan from Williamsport, Pennsylvania. We have Miss Jan Whitfire.
What is that, Jan Whitmire?
Yes.
Jan?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Jan. How about that? One's a girl and one's a man.
I think so.
Say, I... Well, Jan, dear, I don't want to confuse our studio, not our studio audience. They won't be confused. They'll know the difference between you and I, but I'd like the people listening in.
I keep thinking there are people listening in.
And, I don't want to confuse those people, and I think a little description is in order, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Well, picture someone, if you will, who is tall, lovely, big blue eyes, long lashes, lovely hair. Now you describe yourself to the audience. I think that's fair. I told them what I look like. No, I just described Jan perfectly. You know, you're the first person we've ever had on our show whose name was Jan.
Well, I've got a small confession to make, Jan.
Have you?
Well, mine's a nickname. It's short for Janet.
Well, I have a little confession to make, too. Mine's a nickname, too. Short for janitor. I got tired. Everybody said, hey, janitor, where's the coal? And so I changed it to Jan. Now no one knows who I am, you see.
Well, you're certainly a lovely young lady. Do you work or do you go to school?
Well, neither at the moment. Neither. I just graduated from Cornell.
Just graduated this term?
On Monday.
Well, good luck to you. Well, bless your heart. I'm going to call you Janet, so there really is no confusion. Okay, Janet? Gee, it's funny. I graduated Cornell. I always thought that Cornell was a great school for boys.
Oh, there's a lot of girls there, too.
Well, sure, but that's a great school for boys, sure. I never knew that. And you're a new graduate. What are your plans, Jan?
Well, I majored in English and education, but I'd like to get a job in business, if I can find a firm that'll have me.
Oh, I don't think you're going to have any trouble. You look like a real bright young lady. Have you ever had any experience in business?
One summer I was a door-to-door salesman.
A door-to-door salesman?
Mm-hmm.
What'd you do, sell doors to other doors? What do you mean? What's the matter? That moan you just heard, ladies and gentlemen, came from our producer, Herb Moss. What's with... Oh, no. Come here, lad. Come here. I'm not going to let that pass by. Come here, kid. Oh, no. Come here. No moaning. What is that? Oh, no. What's the matter? What's wrong?
What kind of joke is that, door-to-door? What is that?
Well, I ad-libbed it fast. The young lady said door-to-door salesman. I said, you sell door to other doors. How fast can you make up a joke? I think that's pretty clever, for heaven's sake.
But people didn't laugh.
This is not a joke for people. It's for doors. People didn't laugh. The doors love this joke. Go to any house in America, you'll see the doors are hysterical right now. All right, Mr. Moss, back in the woodwork, and don't moan anymore. Get the nerve of this guy yelling, oh, no, what, every gag got to be a hit? I mean, I got to think up lines to get laughs, you know. I can't be like you and get laughs with the short suits, you know what I mean? Is that a jacket or a vest, boy? Well, Janet, let's get back to you, darling. Tell me, what other jobs have you held down, dear?
Well, I've done some selling in stores.
Selling?
Yeah. I even set a record once.
You broke a record?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what?
One Saturday, I sold over 200 house dresses.
Well, congratulations. That's remarkable. 200 house dresses.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that is terrific, considering I never knew houses wore dresses. Mr. Moss is blowing his top. This boy just threw something at me. What is it, Herb? She's trapping me into these things, you know. She says, house dresses, that's the quickest joke you could make, you know. Houses wore dresses. What is it?
People didn't laugh, Jan.
You keep worrying about people. I'm worrying about dresses. And they're in stitches. They love this boy.
That's good?
Yeah? Don't shake hands. Send money, kid. Don't shake hands. Well, Janet, a beautiful young lady like yourself, there must be a boyfriend in the picture somewhere, if I'm not too personal. I mean, going steady or anything.
Well, to tell the truth, I have a fiancé.
Yeah?
He's up at Cornell getting his master's degree.
That's wonderful. What's he studying up there?
Animal nutrition.
Animal nutrition? Gee, that's an odd subject for a guy to study. I mean, how do you ever get interested in a thing like animal nutrition?
Well, he says it was natural.
Yeah.
He sort of eats like a horse anyway.
That's funny, Mr. Moss? That's a funny joke. Eats like a horse, animal nutrition, you're hysterical, huh? That's a big joke, huh, Mr. Moss? Huh? Big thing? The people are laughing. Yeah, but the doors and the dresses hate that joke. That's my public, doors and dresses. Well, I certainly wish you and your boyfriend all the best, Janet. Have you set a date?
I don't know. Perhaps this fall, I hope so.
This fall? Well, invite me. I have a tuxedo, we'll travel. And I'll be the master ceremonies at your wedding for nothing because
Wonderful.
You're a lovely girl, all right?
Thank you.
Now tell us a little bit about the song that you brought with you this evening.
Well, up at Cornell, we've got a musical comedy organization. It's called the Octagon Club. We'd sort of like to rival Penn's Mask and Wig or Princeton's Triangle. And each year we put on an original production. The song I've got with me tonight is one that Abe Cohen and I did for a show back when I was a freshman in 48. It's called Interdigitation.
Interdigitation?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what does that mean, dear?
Well, give me your hand a minute and I'll show you.
My hand?
Your hand.
All right.
You see, digits are fingers.
That I knew, digits, yeah.
And inter means between.
Yeah.
So interdigitation, or let's hold hands.
You don't want to call the song Let's Hold Hands so everyone will know what's happening, huh?
It's much more fun.
All right, interdigitation.
Measure.
All right, sweetie, here's your song now. Song you wrote with a gentleman by the name of...
Abe Cohen.
Okay, now Rosette Shaw is going to sing your song. Ray Black's orchestra will play it for you. You're a wonderful young lady. Good luck to you and bless you.
Interdigitation is lots of fun. It's the sort of thing that's practiced by everyone. If you want a demonstration of the way it's done, then let's hold hands. Interdigitation can be bliss if you top it off with a friendly kiss. But whether you do or don't, still it starts like this. So let's hold hands. Dip, dip, darling, our fingers. Enter's Latin for between. Put the two words together, and you'll see what I mean when I tell you. Interdigitation is fun to do with a girl like me and a boy like you. Especially if we don't neglect to follow through. So let's hold hands. Darling, our fingers, enters Latin for between. Put the two words together, and you'll see what I mean when I tell you. Interdigitation is fun to do with a girl like me and a boy like you. Especially if we don't neglect to follow through. So let's hold.
Okay, panel, we just heard our third new song, Interdigitation, by Miss Jan Whitmire and Abe Cohen. Now, may we have your opinion of it? Let's start with Miguelito Valdez this time.
Very simple words and beautiful melody. That's all I can say about it.
Thank you, Miguelito. Like Thank you very, very much. Mitch Miller.
Well, Jan, it's really very good for what it set out to do. I mean, a good song and a freshman show with memories of Caesar, you know, Cicero and Virgil in your mind. And but come off very well. But other than that, I don't know. I really don't.
Thank you for your thought, Mitch. Mary McCarthy, how did you feel?
I think that one good thing that she has a very novel idea in her title, and the idea of her explaining the title is very smart. As I said to Mitch before she the young lady sang the song, what does digit mean? And, how are you? So anyway, I think it's clever. I think it has a good beat, and as all novelty numbers, you can never tell until they're given to the public just as to how they're going to go.
Right.
Well,
we gave it to the public tonight, and we'll find out how it goes.
I really told her what interdigitation meant, too, didn't I?
You know, Mitch? Good. Mary, I saw you. Don't make any funny faces. This is radio. Mary, I saw you do the leading part in that wonderful show, Miss Liberty. I saw you do that great show. Bless you all. And I understand you've been thrilling the people at Ciro's in Hollywood, the Persian Room here in New York, and just everywhere you go. How about giving our audience a thrill now with one of your favorite songs, would you?
Thank you, Jan.
Good.
I'd love to.
What are you going to do, Mary?
I'd love to do a Cole Porter song, From Anything Goes, and I'll surprise you when I start to sing it.
This is one of the most exciting show business personalities in our show business world today, Miss Mary McCarthy.
My story is much too sad to be told, but practically everything leaves me totally cold. The only exception I know is the case when I'm out on a quiet spree, fighting vainly the old ennui. Turn and see your fabulous face. I get no kick from champagne. Mere alcohol doesn't thrill me at all. Tell me why
should it be true that I get a kick out of you? Come like that perfume from Spain. I'm sure that if I took even one sniff, it would bore me terrifically too. But I get a kick out of you. I get a kick every time I see you standing there before me. I get a kick, though it's clear to see, so obviously you don't adore me. Some get a thrill in a plane, flying too high with some guy in the sky. It's my idea of nothing to do. But I get a kick out of you.
Thank you so very much. You're just great. And now, Hal Sins, who's our next new songwriter, please?
Well, Jan, he's Mr. Emery G. Epperson of Salt Lake City, Utah.
Well, hello. How do you do, sir?
Hi, Jan.
How are you, Mr. Epperson? Right over the microphone, please. Pleasure to have you on our show.
Thank you so much. I've wanted to meet you ever since I first heard you on the air.
Well, thank you. Bless your heart. Nice, austere gentleman. Tell us how you got interested in music, sir.
Well, I came of a family of old-time fiddlers, and as a boy, I was anxious to get a violin, and it happened we received a Sears Roebuck catalog one day. I was looking through it, and I saw a violin, a beautiful red violin there, for $4.95. Oh, boy, I wanted that violin, and my dad hadn't had very good financial success at the time, so I decided to get out and sell papers, and I sold them for a long time, saved up enough money to get it, and I sat down to write my letter, and when I got to the bottom of the letter, I found that I didn't have money enough for the postage, so I had to go out and sell more papers to get 98 cents more to send for the violin. But I got it, and I was very happy to get it. And I had an uncle who played the banjo very well, and he could teach a little. And he said, well, I'll help you with your violin. And so he taught me to play a scale and helped me a little bit on it. And so pretty soon I got playing pretty well, and I stayed with it.
Sir?
Yes, sir. That's the story of my life.
I was going to stop you a minute or so ago because your 3 minutes were up, sir.
Yeah. You didn't look as if you were going to stop me.
Well, gee,
I didn't want to lull in the program. I've heard that on radio you have to keep things moving or it's no good.
But we're moving it so fast we'll be out of the studio. Oh, wonderful. You're a loquacious gentleman, and I'm very happy to meet you. Tell me, you still live in Salt Lake City?
Yes, I've lived there and taught for over 25 years in schools. I teach the violin.
Your family is there?
Yes. You have a very lovely family, 5 children.
And you teach the violin now out in Salt Lake City.
The violin in the Jordan School District in Salt Lake County.
Talk right up, sir. You're amongst friends.
That's
you know.
Right. You bet. I enjoy it very much.
Right, sir. Right. Now, tell me, you teach the violin?
Yes.
I understand it's very. That's a pretty hard instrument to learn to play. Is that correct?
Well, not the way I teach it. I have a system where I can teach anyone to play the violin in about 3 minutes.
This is your own system?
Yes, my own system. I have a book. I call it Epperson's Pleasure Method for the Violin.
Epperson's Pleasure Method for the Violin. Why do you call it that?
Well, that's my name, Epperson.
I see. You know the old gag, you get a foolish question, you get a foolish answer. You know the gag. Well, that's pretty logical, Epperson.
Pretty good, yeah.
The reason I'm asking you these questions, you see, there's a talent. All right, I blew the joke I had in my mind.
Mine.
We're both having trouble.
I was going to tell you there's a scout in the audience. Not a talent scout, an Indian scout. And he's going to come up here pretty... Huh?
I'm not an Indian scout.
Yeah. Well, tell me, this is very interesting. Oh, I don't look now. This boy's looking for my job. Mr. Epperson, that's a very interesting thing that you just told me about teaching people how to play this thing in 3 minutes.
Yes.
I'd like to challenge you on that statement.
Well,
if I may. Do we have enough
challenge.
Time to do this, Mr. Moss? I'd like to challenge this gentleman. And
You see, because I'm not musically inclined at all. Everything you tell me about music goes in one ear, out the other, and then back in the other one again.
All right, I'd just like you to try it.
Would you?
I'd
you think
like
3 minutes? We've got just about that long. Mr. Block, Herb, anybody, do you have a violin? Would you give me one of those violins, please? I'd like, this would be a very interesting thing, and we can really, we could really have a lot of fun. Now, am I holding it right?
Well, first of all, you don't put the bow under your chin.
Think it's easy to play it this way?
No, you've got to change it. Here's the way the fiddle goes.
I see.
Jerry Block had the violin in his orchestra.
Well, that's
so
how I learned this.
Well,
he's the only one I saw play it. Now, he puts the bow under the chin.
Oh, I see. Well, all you have to do is put three fingers on the string there.
Three fingers on the string.
About an inch apart. That's
fine. I got it right, sir?
And like that. That's
good.
Now, push down tight and be sure you keep your first finger down all the time.
First finger down all the time.
Yes, there's about 18 exercises that you have to learn without moving your first finger from the strings. Now, you take the bow in your hand.
Wait a minute. Don't just brush by the statement, sir. 18 exercise, you keep the first finger down?
I wind
up with a kinky pinky here.
Yeah. You might
be a pretty long time. All right, now I got it down. All right.
Curve your fingers well.
Curve them around.
Keep the strings close.
Yeah, forget
the string.
This hand. This is the hand I'm worrying about. Wait till I straighten the microphone.
All right, listen, get your thumb
you have a kazoo or something that's easy to play.
Open it.
Three minutes.
Well, now,
go ahead.
All right, now, hang on.
Fine, I'm hanging
on now.
Now,
play two quick bows and a long bow. Quick, slow. Quick,
that's good.
Quick, slow. That's
very
close.
Good. Very
now,
good.
Now I can teach you a tune.
How long did it take you to teach Jack Benny to play?
Well, it's
very good.
It's been quite a while with Jack. I got another fellow.
This is very good. I hope you noticed that while I was playing the song, sir, not once during the entire rendition did the audience's fingers leave their noses.
Let's talk about your song.
You'll teach me how to play a little later, okay?
I'll talk to you in one more minute.
I'm sure you can.
You're a very talented pupil.
Well,
I hope
I'm pretty
that maybe
clumsy.
When I come back to Ray Block's orchestra again that you'll be playing violin. First chair in his orchestra.
Don't wish that on me, boy. Please. I like to earn a living.
Those boys make $250 a week.
I know Ray Block, sir. Tell us about the song you brought with you this evening. It's no sense asking you how you got interested in writing songs. A gentleman who's been teaching for 25 years.
Well, the song I brought tonight is a duet-type song that's quite popular right now, using an old familiar melody and adding a popular swing and lyric to it to make it a good duet-type number. It's called Singing Love's Old Sweet Song.
Singing Love's Old Sweet Song. I'm sorry I couldn't get the entire letter from you, Mr. Epperson.
But
here's your song. Okay. Singing Love's Old Sweet Song. Here's Rosette Shaw and Richard Hayes to sing it for you. Ray Block's orchestra to play it, and the best of luck to you.
I long for the hour, sweetheart, when once more I'll hear you sing love's old sweet song. 'Twill gladden my heart and thrill as of yore, and nights will not seem half so long, dear. My heart answers love's sweet call. Twilight brings memories so dear. Thoughts of you come while my heart is yearning.
Our fourth new song, Singing Love's Old Sweet Song by Emery Epperson. May we have your opinion, Mary McCarty?
Yes, Mitch just reminded me of something that sounds like a great song for Joe Stafford and Nelson Eddy to sing. I liked it very much. I like those songs that incorporate two singers. I think it's a very sweet song. I think the fact that he's chosen just the song at twilight has double appeal because that song has such warmth.
Thank you for your thought. Mitch Miller.
Beautifully written, beautifully sung, beautifully played.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very, very much. Miguelito Valdez.
A few words to say about it. I think it's beautiful all around.
Thank you very, very much. Thank you, panel. Now then, you've heard all four songs by the four newcomers. You know, panel, actually all four of them are really winners because they've been chosen for many thousands. We want to know which of these new songs you've heard tonight you think has the makings of a real hit. And to refresh your memory, we'll let you hear in the order they were played a refrain from each. First, White Collar Girl by Ellen Huntley and Saul Friedman.
I'm a white collar girl with a college degree, but to collar a man, that's a tough one for me. I don't have the measles, I'm quite normal, you see. It's nothing contagious, it's just my PhD.
Second, You Fool by Jose de Ungria.
You fool, why did you fall in love? Why did you let yourself be caught off guard and carried away?
Third, Interdigitation by Miss Jan Whitmire and Abe Cohn.
Interdigitation is lots of fun. It's the sort of thing that's practiced by everyone. If you want a demonstration of the way it's done, then let's just hold hands.
And fourth, Singing Love's Old Sweet Song by Emery Epperson.
Sweet heart, when the shadows fall, my heart answers love's sweet call.
That's it, panel. Those are your four songs. Please mark your scorecards. Give them to Herb Morse, our producer. He'll bring them here. We'll have a winner in just a moment. While they're marking the scorecards, ladies and gentlemen, won't you join me in giving a real round of applause to our great panel tonight? They were really wonderful. Mitch Miller, Mary McCarthy, and Miguelito Valdez. And here's the winning song, Singing Love's Old Sweet Song by Emery Epperson. Come up here, sir. Congratulations to you. Well, sir, you've won yourself $200 in cash, but above all, your song is going to be published by BMI. I hope it starts you off on a brand new career. You're a fine gentleman, and I certainly wish you all the best. Good luck. You're in tough competition tonight. All the songs were really great on the show. What's that? And Miguelito liked White Collar Girl by Mrs. Ellen Huntley, and he's going to record it, play it with his orchestra, and maybe we're going to have a lot of luck with that. He's going to try, anyway. He's going to try to record it, and maybe we'll have lots of good luck with all these songs. And to each of you others who are on our show tonight, $50 in cash is a token of what we hope the future will bring. And now, ladies and gentlemen, before we say goodnight, I should like to tell you that tonight marks my last appearance on Songs for Sale. I'd also like to let you know that this has been the happiest year of my entire life, you know, and of all the shows I've ever been connected with, the nightclubs, theaters, musical comedies, etc., Songs for Sale is my all-time favorite. I feel happy and honored that in the past year, we've published over 60 songs with 14 different publishers, and we have over 20 recordings of our new songs out. And maybe before another year rolls around, some of them will be big hits, and I hope so. It would take me another hour or so to thank all the great people who have helped put the show on the air. Herb Moss, our producer, Ray Block, his great orchestra, Hal Sims, Richard Hayes, Rosette Shore, all the technicians, the stagehands, just everyone. I owe them all a deep debt of gratitude. I'm very grateful to all of them. They've all been wonderful. Songs for Sale will be heard on a new time, starting a week from tomorrow night, June the 30th, with the new master ceremony, Steve Allen. And the show will be heard every Saturday night at 10 p.m. Daylight Savings Time. Keep listening to it, will you? It's a great show with a heart. And I also want to thank all of you for your kind letters of encouragement. We've had thousands of them. I'm trying to answer everybody in the near future. I hope to get every letter and picture sent out. And now, ladies and gentlemen, let's hear once more a bit of our winning song.
Dan, if that
was our winning song?
Dan, if that sounds a little bit more like Auld Lang Syne instead of our winning song tonight, it's only because the people up here on the show who worked all year with you have asked me, kind of as their spokesman, as the producer of this show, to kind of express our gratitude towards you for a wonderful year that we've had with you and kind of present you with a gold set of cufflinks
on
a bar of music which has Songs for Sale to Jan on it.
And it's really been a thrilling year, and they all want you to know that we've had just a tremendous time doing it, and we want to wish you the very, very best of luck that your talent deserves. So
thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. There's nothing else to say. I hope we meet again somewhere along the line. Good night, good luck, and God bless you, one and all. Time, Saturday night, 10 p.m., daylight saving time, starting June 30th. Songs for Sale is produced and directed by Herbert M. Moss. This is Hal Sims speaking, and this is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.